So we return, dear brethren, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. In our morning exposition, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, you may recall that Christ has begun to preach one of his famous sermons, which in many ways is similar to the Sermon on the Mount that we have in Matthew 5 to 7, but is clearly not the exact same sermon, this also being delivered in a different place, and so is called the Sermon on the Plain. But our Lord opens this discourse in a very similar way with what are called Beatitudes, proclamations of blessedness for those who are citizens of this kingdom of God. Hear now the word of God, Luke chapter 6. We'll consider verse 21, and for context, let us read verses 20 to 23. Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." In many respects, dear friends, our Lord was a walking contradiction, a riddle, an enigma. To most, and increasingly so, as we trace his movement to the cross. But so are his followers. Because some see through what appears to be inexplicable and even maddening. It just doesn't make sense. It's so off-putting, even offensive. Some are given eyes to see through that, and they become his subjects. He, the king, with no crown, with no scepter, with no royal robe. A humble preacher in Galilee. Yet, friends, he is the king. The king of a kingdom that is not of this world. And he speaks now to his subjects. "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Something of the contradiction, something of the riddle of being a subject in this kingdom of God. It's not a complete paradox. No, it is going to be resolved, but not now. The riddle will be resolved. The lock will be opened, but not now. "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Jesus further blesses his kingdom poor by further identifying and owning them and further drawing out and confirming them in the hope of their future reward. In his kingdom now, they ache, they groan, They long for. They are empty. They are thirsty. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Blessed are ye that weep now. This is the kingdom now, and they are in that, and they share in it. But they hunger and weep, not as the world does, but in an elevated way, with a true hungering and a true weeping. They sense the true evil in the world and in themselves as being against God, and they feel the world's miseries and their miseries as the disorder that arises from the contradiction that man is against his Maker. But they are now blessed because they are in the kingdom, though they must wait for the riddle to be resolved, the mystery to be unfolded. They are now blessed, being infallibly assured that at the end of their sorrow will be joy. Further blessings for the kingdom poor. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. So the king continues to open that first mother blessing. Blessed are ye poor. We have four things. First, we have further kingdom declaration. Second, further kingdom sympathy. Third, further kingdom guarantees. And fourth, kingdom creation. Kingdom declaration, kingdom sympathy, kingdom guarantees, and kingdom creation. First, kingdom declaration. This is a pronouncement. It's not a wish. No. Those who do not have faith have come upon this and they've seen something of the literary beauty. And so they'll copy it out, perhaps might write it out in a card to give somebody consolation. But this isn't a wish. Jesus isn't wishing for blessing upon his subjects. He is declaring it. Blessed are ye that hunger now. You are blessed who hunger, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Now, the king in this declaration, in this pronouncement, is clarifying. Everyone who comes to Jesus gives him a blank check, saying, Jesus, I just give everything to you. I surrender to you. I'm not going to tell you where to lead me, what to think, how to act. I'm just going to surrender it all to you and trust you. Now, Jesus reveals to his subjects, he reveals to his true people that the great kingdom that all the prophets and all the saints of old waited for is not yet. Even now, though John the Baptist has come, though the voice crying in the wilderness has now, at the end of the age, announced to all people, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The king has come. And Jesus has even begun to preach. The kingdom of God is near. And yet, though it is here, it is not yet. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Not feasting in celebratory victory after a battle has been won. No. There is hungering. Now is not the time for rejoicing. It is the time of weeping, at least relatively so. Jesus instructed his disciples, and he instructs us to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Let your kingdom come. It's not here. It's obviously not here." And if there was any doubt in any of the minds of the disciples when they looked up and saw him hanging between two thieves, here is the king. This is the king of the Jews. Is that kingdom come? That's why those disciples on the road to Emmaus, brothers and sisters, they were just beyond perplexity. We thought that it was he that should redeem Israel. Dear friends, the king is making a declaration that in my kingdom there is hunger, in my kingdom there is weeping. In fact, in a certain sense, it is a radical property of my kingdom to hunger and to weep. So get it straight, Christian. Now is the time of weeping. Blessed are ye that mourn. Your sanctification is far from complete. You struggle with the forces of evil outside. And when you're safe in the walls of your own house, then you find that your worst enemy is within. And you hunger. And you weep. Do you complain about your unbelief? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I find a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The way he describes it, it's like dragging along a corpse. How would you like to do that every day? To drag along with you a 200-pound corpse, stinking and maggot-filled. Well, that's how Paul felt. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now. He doesn't correct them for being hungry and for weeping. He doesn't wag his finger and say, "Oh, no, no, no. There should be no tears in the Christian life." And there are some that say that. And perhaps they point to verses in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, that speak of the victory of the Christian, and all of that's true. But did not Jesus say that there would be a time when the bridegroom would be taken away? And then they would fast in those days? Jesus isn't here. Does that bother you? If it doesn't, then there's something seriously wrong with you. Husbands and wives, when you're separated from your spouse for a time, if you can go a week, 2, 3 weeks and not even be bothered, that's a commentary on the state of your marriage. But the spouse longs for the presence of her husband. Where is he, ye daughters of Jerusalem? Have you seen him whom my soul loves? I hunger for him. I weep because he's not in my embrace. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. And so when the king makes this declaration to his kingdom poor, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Clearly, isn't he speaking about something that is more than physical hunger and weeping? Matthew's gospel has a similar beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The church father Gregory of Nyssa said that according to Matthew, men are blessed who account righteousness in the place of food and drink. In about 45 minutes thereabouts, if not already, our bodies are going to be giving us cues and signals that we want something, that we need something. Well, Jesus is saying that those who hunger with a more exalted hunger, like Jesus who said that my food and drink is to do the will of my Father. And that's the way it is for my subjects by the grace of God that I have wrought within them. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When he tells them to seek it first, they seek it first. And he says, now, I know you need to eat. I'll take care of that. I know you need clothes. I'll take care of that too. But you seek this first. My kingdom and my righteousness. And they say, yes, Lord. And so if I have to deny myself, if I have to, through prioritizing the things of the kingdom, suffer either physically or spiritually, then I'll do it because of Jesus. And none of this is forced. Did you notice that these aren't imperatives? They're not commands. They're descriptions. The kingdom poor realize that he's speaking to them because, lo and behold, they find within themselves, though there is much that should not be there, they do discover hungering. They do discover a spiritual weeping. They know that the king is speaking to them, and therefore they take comfort. Though I am but a dirty and a dead dog. Mephibosheth says, I'm not worthy to be seated at the table, yet I know that the king is speaking to me because I discern within myself those marks of being a citizen in his kingdom, which I didn't put there. And I know mom and dad didn't put them there. To this man will I look, even to him who is poor and of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. The king in this declaration is clarifying, identifying his subjects, distinguishing them from others who are not like them, and owning them. I know my sheep. Second, having looked at this kingdom declaration, second, we have kingdom sympathy. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Now, to be sure, our Lord according to his humanity, sympathized with all suffering. He didn't only heal those who were the elect, undoubted believers. And that's a lesson for us, isn't it? That we should do good to the household of faith, but do good to all men. To have natural sympathy, to look upon the plight of others, and not to be calloused and hard-hearted and cold. To say, oh, they're not a Christian. No. And yet, the king has a special sympathy, a true sympathy for those who are his own. He did not pray for the world. That's what Jesus said. I do not pray for the world. I pray for them whom thou hast given me. And with them, he enters into true sympathy. The high priest of old, he represented the people that had been entrusted to his care. Even so, Jesus became, as the author to the Hebrews says, like his brothers, that he might be in all points like them. He sees the suffering and the misery that is over and above the suffering and the misery that is common to all men. You know, that's one reason why so many people don't become Christians, and maybe that's why you haven't become a true Christian, is because you say, I've got enough sufferings and difficulties. Why do I need to add any more? How short-sighted. Oh, if only you could see. If only you could see that Jesus can deal with all of your sufferings and your troubles. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Maybe you're trying different ways to relieve your trials and your difficulties, but you won't come to Jesus. Why wouldn't you come to Jesus? Has there anyone been so sympathetic, so compassionate, so knowledgeable, not only of symptoms, but of the causes of symptoms? And who is willing to look you in the eye and say, I'm going to be forthright with you. I'm going to tell you right now to count the cost, to take up your cross, to hate your life, indeed to lose it. But I guarantee you that by doing so, you will find it. Oh, the kingdom's sympathy. And for those who have enlisted, for those who have surrendered and bowed the knee to this king and have come into his kingdom, and by the new birth have those marks of spiritual hunger, of spiritual sorrow, he recognizes them and he sympathizes them with them. He sees they're often hidden, ignored sufferings, even the sufferings that they experience that do not meet with the sympathy of men, but rather with celebration. Those dirty Christians got what they deserved. But the king sees. He sees the hunger. He knows the hunger. He put it there. He knows the secret weeping. He knows the trial, the agony, and his heart goes out to them. If that's you, if you're one of his heart is as your heart. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. I want you to have peace. I don't want you to be tormented. I don't want you to be in agony. At least not ultimately. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I will not lie to you. And if you're going to be my follower, you must have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, how sympathetic Jesus is to you, Christian. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. He sees their downcast faces. Their tears are kept in his bottle. Those moments when no one else sees, like Nathanael, under the tree, Jesus sees. He knows all those hidden, bypassed, ignored, underappreciated, unappreciated sufferings. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Take heart. Jesus is the great encourager. Take heart, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Jesus wants his subjects to be so overcome with joy that they laugh. That's sympathy. Third, kingdom guarantees. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. He gives these guarantees to his kingdom poor, telling them that kingdom come, which is yours, is a kingdom of pure satisfaction. It is a kingdom of pure satisfaction. There is no hunger, no weeping, no patience, no endurance that must be given for the sake of Jesus now that will not be abundantly compensated. Everyone, not a single one, shall fail. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. I'd say that's a pretty good deal. Kingdom come is a kingdom of pure satisfaction. It certainly will involve physical satisfaction. Every tear shall be wiped away. Every last tear. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, as a deer. The tongue of the dumb shall be loosed. We shall all, in that great kingdom, all those who are true subjects, partake of a feast that shall dwarf all other feasts. This is even the wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you experience physical dissatisfaction? Jesus has called you to hardship, but you are the apple of his eye. He says, even the cup of cold water that is given to one of the disciples to refresh them, they will not lose their reward. Why? Because she is a member of Christ. She is a part of the kingdom of Jesus. Kingdom come as a kingdom of pure satisfaction. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Even more, kingdom come is a kingdom of spiritual satisfaction when finally we achieve perfect holiness. When the very root of all of our sorrows, sin, shall be gone. When we shall no longer have to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we shall come into the presence of the one whom we have longed to be with all along. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, both the removal of sin and the presence of Christ will come together at once. And then you shall laugh. Then you shall hunger and thirst after righteousness, which seems always to be just out of reach. You shall hunger and thirst for it no more. The kingdom guarantees a kingdom of pure satisfaction and a kingdom of pure joy, yes, even of sacred laughter. You know, laughter is one of those spontaneous things that happens to us when we're impacted, not just with humor, but also with something that is too good to be true, but is true. Too good to be true, but is true. Did you laugh, Sarah? Yes, yes, you laughed. And now I'm going to make you laugh. And I want you to name the boy Laughter. Isaac. When Zion's bondage, God turned back as men that dreamed were we. Then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. When we get there, when we enter into glory, how we shall just be so overwhelmed with things that we believed but doubted. Answers that once we see them, it will make perfect sense and I will feel so stupid that I didn't see it before. Why did I doubt God? Why did I become so impatient? When I read Paul and he talked about this little suffering, I said, Paul, what are you talking about? Paul knew what he was talking about. Now we see through a glass darkly. It doesn't make sense. It's a riddle. It's beyond us, but once we come there, it will immediately make sense and we shall burst forth in sacred laughter at the infinite wisdom and goodness of God that he could give his gift in a way that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of the sons of men, the things that God has prepared for them. You have no idea, Christian. Think about that. The next time you feel empty and you hunger, the next time you are weeping and sorrowful as a Christian, remember, you have no idea. the things that God has prepared for you. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And if you haven't signed up for this, my friend, right now, would you not sign up for it by faith? Would you not bow the knee to Jesus? Would you have true satisfaction? Would you have true joy? You haven't found it yet. It's being offered to you now, if you will but take it on Jesus' terms. Kingdom guarantees. Kingdom come is a kingdom of pure satisfaction, of pure joy, and it is certain, signed and sealed by Him who is truth itself. Fourth and last, and briefly, kingdom creation. The king is making a declaration here. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Blessed are ye that weep now. But he's not simply declaring what they are. He is speaking that blessedness into them. You know, that thing that we do at the end of the church, boys and girls, the minister raises his hands and he pronounces the blessing. Those aren't just words. For those who have faith, to mix those words with faith, it is the power of God. And that's one of the things that you come here for, you who are hungry, you who weep, is to receive blessing within yourself. You who are empty, you who are dissatisfied, you who struggle, who carry about this body of death, you who are waiting for Jesus, he calls those things which be not as though they were. You are blessed. Now be blessed. Now, as we close, those who would have kingdom come now without the kingdom cross, you must take his satisfaction, you must take his laughter, all the good that he has for you on his terms and on his timeline. The true Christian says, Lord, what would you have me to do? The true Christian says, after laying out all the desires, Lord, I pray for this, I pray for that, and all of that is fine in its place. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's the prayer of the hungry. I want that righteousness, God. And I even weep that I don't have it. If you would have kingdom come now, perfect health, perfect prosperity, you may get it now. And then that's all you'll have. You will have your reward, and you will be damned with it. Now, he may wipe the tears from your eyes in this life. He often does. He does satisfy us with the finest of the wheat. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and he gives us bread. This is not speaking in an absolute outward sense, but we understand as true Christians must understand that we must have his satisfaction and laughter in his time. We also speak to those who are presumptive, do not take what is not yours. Do not take what is not yours. Get your hands off of this blessing if it doesn't belong to you. Now, we would have you to have it, and you may have it if you repent and you surrender to this king. But don't console yourself because you suffer. Oh, I suffer in this world. Therefore, I can take this comfort and apply it to myself. Friends, that is twisting and perverting the words of Christ. These are for his subjects, as many as will come to him and take his yoke upon themselves. Now, for those kingdom poor who are troubled, if you are troubled with literal poverty, hunger, and weeping, remember Lazarus and the great exchange. Now the rich is tormented and he is comforted. It won't last forever. In fact, many, arguably most, of the followers of the king have been literally poor. And oh, the reward more than makes up for it. Are you hungry? Do you weep spiritually? Does the evil that is out there, the evil in your country, the country of your birth, does it grieve you? You want to celebrate without a tear, without a sigh, but it's so hard. Do you sigh and cry for the abominations of the church and her compromises? Do you hunger for her reformation? Well, such hungering, such weeping will be satisfied. For God in his glory shall appear. When Sion he builds and repairs, he shall regard and lend his ear unto the needy's humble prayers. And one day, he will present his church to himself, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it will be holy and without blemish. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Does the persecution of the church abroad weigh on your heart? Do you sigh for that turtle dove? He will vindicate them. Are you most dissatisfied, even troubled with yourself? That all the evils of an evil world, the compromised church and a persecuted church, all of those combined are not half as troubling as myself? Well, take heart, you who hunger. You will be satisfied. He made the hunger to be filled. And he's not going to give you a hunger that will be left unsatisfied. Do you long to see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As Swinnick says, without question, then when we see God, it will be the heaven of heavens. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Amen. Please rise. Our God, we are so grateful for this kingdom and for this king whom thou hast set upon thy holy hill of Zion, and that we, Lord, should be brought to his table, that we might be seated with princes. Lord, help us to be patient in this present evil world. Help us to persevere and endure. And would thou also create new subjects, those who hunger and those who weep, that they might on that great day be satisfied and rejoice in laughter with us. Hear us now, O God, and forgive us our manifold trespasses. We ask it now in the blood of Christ. Amen.